Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of 2 Kings with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through 2 Kings chapter 14, ending in verse 15, where we see that pride leads us into conflict that we have no business being in. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. He draws near to the humble and contrite person. We'll see examples of this through today's study. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in 2 Kings 14.
But see, this is what pride does. The handle to all sin, pride. He says, let's fight. So Joash, the king of Israel, the north, he sent to Amaziah, the king of Judah, down south, saying, the thistle that was in Lebanon, that's like a milkweed, a little insignificant, nobody regards weed, that was in Lebanon, sent to the cedar, which is big and strong, that was in Lebanon, saying, give thy daughter to thy son to be wife. It's like we're equal, he's saying. And then there passes by a wild beast that was in Lebanon and throw down the thistle. You're the thistle. I'm the cedar branch tree. You're like a little weed calling out a big tree. And you're so insignificant that a little wild beast that passes through destroys you. Sober up, buddy, is what he's saying to him. Calm down. Don't try to pick a fight with somebody that you know that you're not going to be able to successfully fight against. Reel yourself in here. Sober yourself in your thinking. You're getting lofty. You're getting prideful. That's what the wicked king up north says to the king down south. You have indeed smitten Edom, verse 10, and your heart has lifted thee up. You see that there? Your heart has lifted you up. Listen, as we move through this historical book, let it be God's word to you tonight. Let it speak right into your life and divide between bone and spirit, marrow and spirit. Let it divide asunder. Let it pierce the depths of you. Let Jesus examine you by his word tonight. Let it be a searchlight. Ask yourself, as you move through this, you're here, so you might as well get everything you can out of these kings' lives that are recorded for us and say, Lord, has my heart lifted itself up in any area, in any way, shape, or form? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Don't you lift yourself up. Don't you lift your heart up. Abase yourself. Get low. Stay poor in spirit, broken in spirit. Stay hungry for Jesus and his righteousness. Don't let your heart be lifted up. Even a heathen rebukes that tonight. The folly of letting your heart be lifted up. Nobody's heart should be lifted up. Is your heart worthy of being lifted up? I mean, be honest with yourself. All the seedbed to all things that go on within you. Do you want to lift that up? I mean, absolutely not. At least I don't. I want to lift Jesus up. That's it. The only thing that I want to lift up and put in the Father's face is Jesus Christ and his blood that washes over me. I do not want to put anything of myself before the Father's face and say, Father, look, magnify this, Lord. Examine this, search this, check this. There's nothing about me, of me, within me that I want the Father to look at without the saving grace of the blood of the Lamb washing over me and cleansing me and making me white as snow. Nothing. It's stupid to think that there is something of any of us worthy to be lifted up. He resists the proud. And he gives grace to the humble. He draws near to the humble of spirit. This pagan, wicked man up north, he says, your heart has been lifted up. You should glory of this and you should stay at home. For why are you meddling to your hurt? End of verse 10. That you should fall, even you and Judah with you, man. You're going to get yourself in a mess here because of pride. Pride can lead us, man, into conflict that we have no business being in. You should write that down. Pride will lead you into conflict that you have no business being in with your wife, with your husband, with your children, with your friends, with people you do ministry with your coworkers, with your neighbors. It will lead you into conflict with Jesus Christ himself that you have no business being involved with. And it's so blinding. It's so blinding, pride. You oftentimes you can't see it in your own life. You need the word of God to call out blind spots. You need the Holy Spirit to do work in you. You need to say, Jesus, is there anything in me that's being lifted up, that's prideful, that's haughty before you, that's disgusting you in my life? Because it will lead you into conflict. It will cause you to meddle in places you don't belong meddling in. And the consequences will be devastation every single time. Devastation to your family, devastation to your ministry, devastation to your neighborhood, devastation to your witness, devastation to your place of employment, devastation everywhere you go when you are lifted up in pride. I think of Lucifer as I'm reading these verses here. I think it's Ezekiel 14 or chapter 28. I don't know which one it is right now. It's going to make me really mad that I don't know which one that is right now. Do you know? Do you know? Anyone know? 14? If it's wrong, Stevie said chapter 14 of Ezekiel. His heart was lifted up. The five I will statements of Lucifer, that cherubim, that singing, worship-leading angel, he wanted to exalt himself above the throne of God. Such a dangerous, it caused him to fall, and it causes every single one of us to fall, I believe it. It can make you so ridiculous in your thinking. Your heart is lifting yourself up, he said. You need to stay at home. Go to dinner with your wife. Hang out with her. Call it a night. You know, sober yourself up here. Reel yourself in. You had your victory over the Edomites. Now, be satisfied with that because you don't stand a chance against us. I'm like a cedar tree. You're like a little milkweed. It's ridiculous. Stay home. Picture all of that said with a Donald Trump accent, because I feel like I was just talking like him for some reason. I don't even know why. It's going to be huge. But Amaziah would not hear. See, that's what pride does. Pride won't let you hear. And you know, I'm going to tell you something, because I'm a man just like all of you here tonight, and I struggle with pride. I can't hear things from other human beings sometimes that I can only hear from the Lord Jesus Christ. My wife will speak truth into my life. My brothers, the co-pastors here, assistant pastors, the leadership team, family, they'll speak things in my life. I can't hear those things because of pride. But when I get alone with the Word of God and I allow the Spirit of God to speak to me, not about somebody else to me, not about you guys, you know, to me for a Bible study, but to me, for me, as a son of God, as a child of God, as a broken man. He can get my attention. He can have my ear in ways that no other human being can. It's healthy to do that, to open your Bible every single day and say, Jesus, speak to me. Give me my portion. Reveal things to me that I can't hear from anybody else, because pride won't let me hear words of rebuke sometimes, words of exhortation, edification sometimes from other human beings. So I need the Holy Spirit to speak into my life. Amen. He would not hear. He could hear. He would not hear. You could hear too, but so many times like me, you will not hear. I will not hear. Therefore, Joash, verse 11, king of Israel, he goes up. The Lord will give you your way. His greatest judgment so many times is giving you to your own desires. He'll let you date her. He'll let you date him. He'll let you go to that bar. He'll let you involve yourself with those friends. He'll let you take that job. He'll let you get involved with that ministry that he did not call you to. He'll give you over to your own desires to show you that you were wrong, to let you fall on your face. If you would just fall on your face in the first place, he would have lifted you up. He would have protected you from yourself. But if you don't want to hear, not because you can't hear, because you won't hear, then he's going to give you over. And it could be to your detriment. You don't know better than God. There is a God, and you and I are not him. That's the greatest doctrine you will ever hear, apart from Jesus Christ as Lord. There is a God, and none of us are him. His ways are not our ways, but listen, his ways are better than our ways. We've got to believe that. We've got to take it to the bank. His ways are better than our ways, even if we don't think so. My son right now is in this stage where he literally, sincerely will say to me, Dad, why do you think you know better than me? And he's so serious in that plea, like, when I correct him, when I admonish him, when I deal with him. Son, get out from underneath the table and stop acting like a dog while we're trying to eat. Why, Dad? Because I said, and I'm the dad, that's the butt. You do it. Just get up now and sit in your seat. But I don't understand why I have to do what you say. Because I'm your father, I know better. But why do you think you know better? That bothers me. He'll say that. And you and I, we might not exclaim those very words to God. We might not stomp our feet, although maybe we do. But in our hearts, we might really seriously think, God, do you really know what you're doing here? And here's what you have to understand. Yes, he's God. He knows everything perfectly and completely. He's sovereign Lord. You have to believe that and accept that no matter what's in front of you. When a word is given to you from his word, from his messenger, you've got to take it and believe it and receive it. So him and Amaziah, this is now a battle that's going to take place unnecessarily, middle verse 11. They looked one another in the face at Beth Shemesh. I've been to that place. It's a place of war. It's outstanding. It's incredible. It's so perfect to go to battle. A valley and hills all around and an interesting place. It belonged to Judah, and Judah was put to the worst before Israel. Of course they were. And they fled every man to their tents. And Joahash, verse 13, the king of Israel, he took Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Joahash, the son of Ahaziah, at Beth Shemesh. That's just in case you know another man with this name. And they came to Jerusalem, and they break down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim unto the corner gate, 400 cubits, at 600 feet of the wall on the northern side. The most vulnerable place, Jerusalem at that time, was not as large as it is today, and it was at the base of the mountain, so it was flat. It was the most vulnerable portion of the city. They desecrate it. They destroy it. 600 feet worthy of the wall goes down in the north of the city. He takes all the gold, the silver, verse 14, all the vessels that were found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house, hostages, and he returns to Samaria. Crazy. Humility. Write this down, please. Humility is made up of two ingredients. Number one, honesty. Number two, a good working memory. Humility is made up of two key ingredients. Honesty. Honesty about God, honesty about yourself. And then a good working memory of what happens and what has happened in the past when you do not yield to the Lord's will for your life. A fear that will keep you near. It is so good for the Christian to have. Jesus, I've wandered away before. Jesus, I was lofty in spirit before. Jesus, I got carried away before. I got off that leash as it were before. And it is dangerous. I'm staying close to you. I did it for a few years of my life where it was like deliberate and ongoing, and it was terrible. It was a miserable few years. Now, the rest of the acts of Joash, verse 15, which he did in his might and how he fought with Amaziah, king of Judah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Israel? And Joash, verse 16, slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria with the king of Israel, and Jeroboam, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, Amaziah, verse 17, the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived after the death of Joash, son of Joahaz, king of Israel, 15 years. And the rest of the acts of Amaziah, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Judah? Now they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish, but they sent after him to Lachish, and they slew him there. What a terrible end. And they brought him on horses, and he was buried at Jerusalem with his fathers in the city of David. Didn't have to be that way, but by his choice, it was. And all of the people, verse 21, of Judah, they take a king that you all probably know very well as students of God's word. His name is Azariah. The meaning of his name is Jehovah has helped. But his name is also referred to in scripture as Uzziah. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, Isaiah will say, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple with glory. It's that king now that we're going to encounter, but only for a minute here in this portion of scripture. His name will be Uzziah in Chronicles in Isaiah's book, which means my strength is Jehovah. So good meanings to his name. Jehovah has helped, and my strength is Jehovah. Both are truth in our life. Jehovah has helped us thus far, and he continues to, and he will all the way till we go home, and he is our strength. We go from strength to strength because of him. So we read of this king now, Judah, the south, they take Azariah, which was 16 years old. Could you imagine? And they made him king instead of his father, Amaziah. He built, verse 22, Elath, and he restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. But real quick, let's ping pong ourselves back to the north. The writer does it, not me. Don't get mad at me. In the 15th year of Amaziah, tuck Uzziah aside for just a second. Let's look at verse 23. In the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam. This is the second Jeroboam. The first Jeroboam is the first king in Israel after the split between the north and the south. This is the second Jeroboam, or Jeroboam the second. Okay? This man here now is the son of Joash, the king of Israel. He begins to reign in Samaria, and he reigned for 41 years. If you love to know these things, that is the longest reign in the north. This man right here, Jeroboam. He's wicked, he's evil, he's immoral, but he's a great king, militarily, economically. God uses this man, along with Uzziah up in the south, down in the south, to expand Israel's borders to what they were, or close to what they were, in the days of David and Solomon. If you're ever a teacher one day of God's word, and you really are longing to know these things, you'll appreciate this information. You'll go back, you'll pause, start, because this is good stuff. Otherwise, I'm sorry. I really am. I'm sorry to you. But they expand the borders geographically close to what they were in the days of David and Solomon. So he's militarily, economically, socially, he's a wonderful king. Spiritually, he's terrible. There's never been a good king in the north. Remember that. So Jeroboam, he begins to reign. He reigns the longest out of any other king, 1920 dynasty of kings there. And he reigns for 41 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Verse 24, he departs not from all the sins of Jeroboam the first, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. However, he restored the coast of Israel from entering of Hamath. That's 150 miles north of the Sea of Galilee, which is outstanding because he does that all the way to the Sea of the Plain, according to the word of the Lord, God of Israel, which is the Dead Sea. So you're talking up north by the Sea of Galilee, 150 miles, all the way down to the Dead Sea. Incredible. You ever come to Israel, you'll be fascinated by that truth. He does this as he obeys the word of God. Even when you're evil and you obey God's word, you get blessed. That's just a little nugget for you. Even when wicked people yield to the word of God, look at our nation. Even when our nation yields to the word of God, even in the smallest bits, God honors it and blesses it because he lifts his word up above his name. He's amazingly gracious and kind. I think a large reason why God hasn't dealt with the United States of America, just real quickly here tonight, is because we as a nation, as up to this point, we've stayed behind Israel. Those who bless Israel will be blessed. Those who curse Israel will be cursed. I think for that one reason alone, God has just upheld the promises and the truth of his word in the United States of America's life. I mean, as a nation. Because otherwise, I mean, we are so wicked and evil and immoral that our existence is mind-blowing. The fact that God has allowed us to maintain up to this point, in my opinion. But he does according to the word of God, which he spake by the hand of his servant. Here he is, the guy you guys were waiting to read about. Come on, show me that you've been waiting to read. Haven't you been waiting to hear Jonah's name? Here he is. We don't have this recorded anywhere else, but he shows up here on the scene in 2 Kings. Jonah, the guy who did not want Nineveh to repent. I was so excited to meet him today in my study. A familiar face. Somebody that I can just, you know, laugh at and love, because Jonah's a great, I love that miserable prophet. I love him so much. He was so mad when he's underneath the tree waiting for judgment to come on Nineveh, and it never came. He was so mad at God. He said, God, I knew that if I gave them this message of repentance, you're so soft, God. I knew that you'd be kind and gracious and you would turn your wrath from these wicked people. And God did. I love that man. But the word of the Lord came through Jonah, the prophet, to Jeroboam, who's not even a good guy, but he listens to the word of God, and he was blessed for it. Again, Amos from Tokia, which is the southeast of Bethlehem, he's on the scene. Hosea, these guys are all on the scene at this time. They give you the spiritual background to the state of the nation if you want to go home and read those minor prophets. For the Lord, this is the reason for it in all sincerity. The Lord saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter, for there was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel. And the Lord God said that he would not blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. So God's just kind to his people. He's faithful. He's a covenant keeper. Now, the rest of the acts of Jeroboam and all that he did in his might, how he warred and how he recovered Damascus and Hamath, which belonged to Judah, for Israel, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? And Jeroboam, this wicked man who did great things for the nation, he slept with his fathers, even with the kings of Israel, and Zechariah his son reigned in his stead. And the 27th year, verse 1, chapter 15, we're going back south. King of Israel began Azariah, son of Amaziah, king of Judah, to reign. That's Uzziah. Okay. There's a reason why we're coupling these chapters together. It's not to make your brain crazy. It's because it's all the theme of pride. Uzziah now, he's 16 years old when he begins to reign. He reigns for 250 years in Jerusalem, longest reigning king in the south to date. He reigns for 52 years, and his mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. He did that which is right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. Save, verse 4, that the high places were not removed. The people sacrificed, and they burnt incense on the high places. And the Lord smote the king so that he was a leper unto the day of his death. And he dwelt in his several houses. And Jotham, the king's son, was over the house judging the people of the land. So they kind of co-reigned. Again, a strange ending to this guy's life, because the writer of Kings, he doesn't give you the details. What does that mean? He was stricken with leprosy. Why does he go out this way? So let's look together in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. If it's going to distract you trying to turn, don't come. You could just jot it down. If it's easy for you to do, you can come with me in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. I'm going to begin reading in verse 3, and I'll tell you what verse I'm in all the way through so that you don't get lost. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. He reigns for 52 years.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.